Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/RainmanDigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
That is kind of morbid. I think I need to rewrite that.
Yeah.
The end.
Before the end, we're all going to die. We live off of morsels that we purchase with the money you send us. They have all this, five of you.
They have this chained up. If we don't get to 100, they will not release us.
Yeah. We are writing to you via a transcriber because we are cuffed and bound. We cannot move. Please help us.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to them.
Superman.
My friend.
Who are you?
The lesser of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Hey, with my hands.
Warning, EC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to another episode of DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. Find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. It helps us out a ton. All right, I am your host, Lauren. I have Bob with me.
Hello, hello.
And, yeah, Supergirl.
Just us, Supergirl.
Just us. Supergirl duo. All right, we're going to be talking about Supergirl Season 5, Episode 2, Stranger Beside Me. Kara and Lena finally have the talk, as with, no, we do not. That's not, did they?
Yeah. You know what? Wing that synopsis since some butthead forgot to update it.
Hey-o.
Wait, not to Rotten Burgundy yet.
I started, though.
You did.
I started.
But you at least caught yourself and realized that he didn't update this.
Hey.
I promise I updated the rest.
So this week we see Eve again. We get further down the rabbit hole of Lena's whole situation. There is stuff amok at Catco. It's really hard to, a lot of stuff happened.
It's sometimes like that's why the synopsis doesn't change, because like how can I be concise when there's 17 stories going on?
Yeah. And to be fair,
we're setting up a season.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like too much was crammed in there, but when you're actually listing it out, a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah. It makes
Rainey's crazy and excessive.
It definitely makes it hard for notes. It's like, what is going to be fun to talk about?
All right. So screw the synopsis. We don't need no synopsis.
Yeah. You know what happened? You watched the show.
Yeah. So this episode was directed by David McWhirter. I've never seen that name before, I don't think. And written by Dana Horgan and Katie Rose Rogers. Is McWhirter a new?
I've never heard of any of these people.
McSquirter. Okay. So I guess first things first, let's talk about Lena. Get this over with. Man, she is losing it. She's staying up all night working in the lab because she had an epiphany. She's going supervillain.
Yeah, that obsessive supervillain.
Her intentions are good, but in the eyes of every supervillain, their way is the right way. Their goal is the correct goal for people, for them, for everyone. You know, a lot of times the scariest supervillains are the ones that start out with a goal of making the world a better place and creating a world in their own vision because they believe that's the right choice. And they have this God complex within them that says, you know, oh, well, I have the authority to make that choice for everyone. And that's where everything just turns. And after a while, it's like, okay, well, that's great. You think that. But what about everyone else? You know, you don't get to make that choice for everyone. It's that obsessive, egotistical shit that's fueled by betrayal and hurt. And that's exactly what's happening with Lena. And I'm just so freaking bummed.
Isn't it? We didn't want this.
Mm-mm.
I mean, for our show, for as long as we've been covering this, we've never wanted this.
Yeah. And I think,
and I'm bummed too that it's just like we can see the writing on the wall. There's no redemption story in this at all for her.
Yeah.
She's got to go Falcon full nuts and maybe then after, but probably not.
Yeah. And maybe for some people, you know, it was an obvious ending of, well, she's a Luther. It was inevitable for her to come full circle to being a member of the Luther family. But it feels cheap to me. It's exactly the inevitable trope that I wanted to get out of. She's a Luther. I wanted this Luther to be different. I wanted her to be someone different, something different, you know, a force for good on Supergirl's side. And she was for so long. So I'm bummed, and I hope that things fall apart with her plan and that she maybe gets her head back on straight. But
it's pushing that she's the big bad.
It seems like slowly here and there, you know, these little things have been happening. Last season, she had moments of like just this egotistical drive of like, no, I get to make the decisions and, you know, I make the calls and this is what I believe is right. So you have to adhere to it. The way she broke up with James, like there's been all these little signs that have been kind of leading to this, and that sucks. So what I'm interested in, though, is this whole thing with Eve, because she has Eve. She has her trapped, I guess, and has her like prisoner, basically. But I'm confused a little bit just because didn't Eve get like what happened with Eve and Leviathan at the end of last season?
Yeah.
Didn't they like take her and say like, you'll never be able to escape us?
That's what I thought. And
so
then
did they re-release her?
Yeah.
Into Lena's care or something?
Well, it just, but, and then it looked like they made it look like she got kidnapped again, or she got away and then got kidnapped by those people. And then she ends up at Lena. So it's really confusing right now as far as the story goes with that I'm not sure if this is, again, you know, part of what we saw last year, or, you know, she got away and we just interpreted what was going on wrong.
It can't be part of what we saw last year, because this is now current post Supergirl revealing to Lena in plain language that she's Supergirl.
Well, yeah, it's just really confusing with, you know, why or how.
And
you know,
how is Leviathan going to come into play? Because Eve's no longer Eve now. You know, she mapped her brain, figured out where, you know, the honesty and whatever was in her brain, and implanted hope into her brain. So now Eve's mind isn't even controlling anything. It's an AI being hosted in her body. And first of all, that's creepy as shit, Lena. That is some supervillain bullshit right there.
It's like almost on that Matrix level of like, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
You just implanted something in somebody's fucking head.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also, you didn't just implant something in someone's head. You have given away their body.
You've taken them over.
Yeah. They're simply a physical host for something else that is controlling them. And that's creepy. And I just don't understand where they're going. And to be fair, I don't need to. It's two episodes in, but I would like a little bit of an idea, because it does feel kind of counterproductive and confusing right now. These are the kinds of questions that I don't want to have. I don't want to be sitting here going, well, wait, what about the end of last season? What about Leviathan? What about this whole like unified hive-mindy organization or being or whatever it is, you know, that took Eve as a young woman and kind of forced her into this? What happened to the people or being or group or whatever, this entity that she's so scared of, that she was bolting and trying to run away from?
Yeah, it, they're gonna have to be careful on how that plays out. Again, like you said, especially after it's not Eve anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And think it's weird that it hasn't been introduced more yet.
Or referenced at all.
At all, yeah.
Literally at all. Other than Eve saying, I can't tell you if they even thought I knew. So I'm glad that it was brought up in
it wasn't just a straight write-off.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I know what we did last year, but we're not going to do that now.
And I don't want to be too critical too early on, but I mean...
That's what we do.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they're going to have some sort of reveal and it's going to be like, oh yeah, that's a thing from the end and blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, cool. But I just don't want to feel confused about where you're going with this. I want to be excited and eager to speculate rather than, I'm sorry, how is this playing into what else is happening? And with these shows, you know, throughout the season, so much news comes out, so much casting, so much, oh, so-and-so is going to be in this episode or this episode is titled this. There's all these things that come out that I think they may need to kind of take that into account or keep their stuff under wraps more.
Okay, so I found a quote that says, and this is from Jessica Queller and Robert Rovner, the showrunners.
Yeah.
That it will be part of a more technology-focused season. You know, that they're putting their own spin on it. It will really fit into what we're doing this season with the technology. It'll be a happy marriage for us. Needing the idea of a big bad and being a big, dark organization for us to use. So
is Andrea Rojas behind Leviathan?
Maybe that's what we're getting at with these weird ass contacts and everything else.
Maybe
that it is again, they're really taking this technology spin.
Maybe the contacts are Rojas's way of bringing this hive mindy technology into public users.
Yeah.
And the general public, because they're willingly putting them, you know, in their eyeballs and stuff, and they're willingly participating in this, as opposed to maybe perhaps the like Leviathan people weren't so willing, or maybe they were coerced or tricked into it. And at that point, perhaps, you know, some sort of legal discourse might be there. But if people are willingly participating and just blindly accepting terms and conditions,
like we all do.
Yep, exactly. So
I mean, we got to trust in the method. At least they've acknowledged the fact that they are doing it. And this was, you know, a recent quote around con time.
Okay.
So.
All right. So let's talk about Andrea Rojas then, because she's a cold bitch. And she has trackers in every single one of those contact lenses. She has the ability to know whether they've been broken or tampered with or anything like that. And that, I guarantee you, once again, terms and conditions, I guarantee you that's something that's in the terms and conditions that people don't know about, that they would just, accept, that's fine. And it's probably going to come out, and there's probably going to be more things that come out, and Supergirl's going to expose that, and she'll go, ha ha ha, you can't get me legally, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I'm going to write a story about it. No, you can't.
Also, what the hell, Lena? Why are you, like, just trying to steal tech? That's not like you.
Yeah. Again, I think it's just like this weird...
She's spiraling.
The breaking point.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for her to, again, go super villain here. And
she's on her way.
And I don't know. Would you rather have it sooner or later?
Sooner, get it over with.
Just so we can get to that the manic craziness part of this that we both can, you know, see coming from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch her slowly dive deeper and deeper and deeper into madness. I just want it to happen if it's going to happen. Get it over with, and maybe we can have some sort of redemption for Lena, or maybe her character will end in some sort of way. I loved Lena, and I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
And Katie McGrath is killing it still.
God, she's so good.
And it's so hard to be, I guess, critical Yeah. Because, again, there's nothing wrong with the acting or anything else, or even the writing that's going on. It's more the decision of them turning a character that we like into something that we haven't wanted.
Yeah. It's a decision I don't agree with. And yet, like I said last episode, exactly what you just mentioned, Bob, the writing is there. The reasoning, the writing, how it's happening, how it's going down, that's all good. It's written well. It's acted phenomenally. Katie McGrath is incredible. And every time she stares at another character with that sort of like just broken intensity,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've let her down personally. Like, I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When her face just like freezes and she has that little quiver of disgust on her lips and her eyes like water a little bit. Oh my God. I feel like I've disappointed her personally, honestly.
Like, I'm sorry. Just, I did not mean to.
I'm so sorry, Katie. Yeah, I mean, she's killer. Ugh. Hey, DC on RMD listeners. Hey.
Transition.
I don't know how to end that. I'm just like somber about it.
It's like, meh. This is like, it would be a good time for a hard break. But no, we're live reading this.
We are live reading this. Doing it live. Hey, DC on RMD listeners. If you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and or review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. All right. So, Miketku. There's so much happening.
So much.
Oh, boy. Okay, so.
There's so much happening, but I don't know. I don't know.
That's exactly the meltdown that I just had.
Yeah. It's just the, I always have this struggle where I realize that there's the dual character here of Kara and Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, dealing with the Catco, the more human side of her is one of the reasons we kind of fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I care anymore.
Well, it seems like it's going to tie into the over.
Like, there's been no DEO at all.
There's been a teeny bit.
Not like it had been.
I know. Well, she's not working with, like, for the DEO in that sense.
I know, but we're just, like, I just don't even think, like, we've been seeing it as much. I understand we're transitioning back to Catco now as, like, the full-time job.
Well, that and. Yeah, I mean, she won a freaking Pulitzer. So, yeah, of course she's going to focus on her reporting
job. She'll be on a book tour
job.
Doing speeches or something.
And
then saving things in random cities around the country.
Supergirl
showed him Chicago this week while Kara was there speaking on her.
Weird. So strange. What a coinkydink.
Yeah.
I just put
my own plot holes in my own story right away.
I do like. I don't hate what's going on at Catco. I like that it was frustrating, but now Kara is really standing up for herself in ways that we were always impressed with her finally doing in the first season, you know, where she was finally standing up for herself. Difference is her boss doesn't actually have her best interest at heart. She's very self-serving, but she's impressed when someone has the balls to talk to her the way that Kara does sometimes.
But still write the story about the sweaters.
Yeah. Okay, do both of them. Give me mine first and then yours. I don't know. I'm not as disinterested in what's going on at Catco because I can feel it kind of coming into the fold of the whole overall story. Sketchy British dude is sketchy.
Is he?
And Andrea Rojas is sketchy as fuck.
The British dude is kind of throwing me off here.
So that's why I say he's sketchy. There's something iffy going on. He's definitely like kind of scummy, like not in terrible ways, but if you're going to undermine your colleagues and make them look bad, to make yourself look superior. And if you're going to like follow them, clearly he was concerned with what he saw on his computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dr. I think like Neil something or something like that. But it was pictures of this Dr. someone and Andrea Rojas. And at that point, he, you know, made a phone call or took a phone call or whatever. And then he saw Kara looking at the screen and she got that phone call and she said, is it him? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, don't do anything until I get there. And takes off. And he was very concerned. So I want to know what's going on there. What is happening? Is he looking into? I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's like a villain or anything.
He's just
like
that self-serving prick.
Yeah, but it seems like there might be something more going on there. I don't think he's self-serving in all actuality. I think he's trying to get close to Rojas to investigate something or to take something down. I think he's working a different angle that is more selfless than he's letting on.
And so that's what they were showing with the soup kitchen at the end?
Yeah, because clearly he's digging into Rojas. You know, that's what was happening on the computer. And that's why he went to go follow Kara. And then, you know, stumbles upon her as Supergirl. So I don't know. I think he is going to be one of those characters that they intentionally paint as an asshole in the first, like, episode or two. And then show a little bit of humanity and then eventually flip it around and
he dies.
Let you see, like, the full spectrum. What?
I said, then he dies.
Then he dies. Yeah. So
It was a lot of flip-flopping in one episode.
I do like watching Catco stuff, and I like that it's Kara's workplace, it's Nia's workplace. Catco is almost as much a character in the show as the people.
Yeah, and it's funny that I complain that they're back, and then if you listen 2 years ago, I'm like, why aren't they in Catco more?
Yeah, why are we only at the DEO?
Yeah.
Bob, you can never be satisfied.
No, I can't. Yeah.
All right. So,
what do you think about the Jimmy situation here? Like that talk of like it, the way they're writing him off. It's like, well, I have opportunities. I'm going to be a senator. I might run the Smithsonian. I might go do this. I've been unemployed for 11 hours and have every opportunity in the world.
First of all, screw you, James Olsen. No, that's ridiculously impressive. But
including his biceps, because that man is ridiculously yoked.
He's buff now.
And it's so ridiculous. Like when they were walking down the road and I have no problem, you know, saying like dudes can be attractive. That's a man that's like he's on Diggle level of size right now.
Yeah.
If there was the bicep competition, I'm thinking he's winning right now.
Probably.
Because, you know, he was walking. I think it was a white shirt. And I was just like, that dude is just like built beyond belief.
I believe it was a light blue button up.
Oh.
With the sleeves rolled a little bit.
it's my memory.
I think that's all good. That all works for a write-off. And it's a slow transition of him leaving the show. You know, I think in a couple episodes, we're going to get like a goodbye party or something like that for James once he decides on a job. And that's where he's going to go. And maybe he'll come back for guest spots here and there.
Yeah. Or, but, you know, the senator thing, you could always put him on a TV and be like, oh, there he is.
The obligatory mid-season and end of the season family dinner and game night.
Yeah. Just have him show up.
Yeah. Have him come to visit. I think it works, though. I think it honestly works for the character. We talked about it a little last week. I think he's gotten to a point where he's really figuring out what his own morals are, what his own expectations of himself are, and he's allowing himself to kind of, I don't know, just be a little bit more adventurous. And I don't know. I'm excited. I think this works.
It's not the thank God he's leaving. It's a good time for him.
Well, that, and I feel happy for the character too. Yeah, it's not like, oh, thank God they're writing this character off. Or like, oh, wow, this feels crappy. It feels like I feel excited for the character because he's moving on to bigger, better things. He's going on an adventure and I feel happy and satisfied for him as opposed to just like writing off a character. I'm so sad. It just feels like it's like ending and he's just disappearing. We feel like we're getting backstory about where he's going.
Yeah. And we realize he can't do anything more in this city.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, he's kind of peaked.
Yeah.
Guardian's fine, but like, Yeah.
What can you do? Like, you got fired from Catco now. Like, yeah. What are you going to do that's going to make sense?
To be fair, he put in his resignation.
Whatever.
But yeah, I don't know. So I'm good with that. I am at peace with that. So, you know, relationship stuff in this show.
Have you ever been in a relationship where somebody just smothered you like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How fast does it get annoying?
Like first day.
Nobody ever loves me enough just to buy me random shit all the time, or I go overboard to be like, oh, I hear you like this, and then do too much. That brainy and dreamer thing, I was just like, holy shit, this seems intense.
Yeah. She is
stalker level.
She is so patient. So patient. I absolutely would have been like, haha, that was funny. This is a joke, right? And no? Okay. You get like a day.
The best day ever out of all the days?
I'm
Cara in that situation, though, man. If somebody's smothering you with just sushi and shit, I'm going to take advantage of it and snack some too.
If I'm a bystander in this situation, I'll be like, I will take three of those bento boxes. But if it were me, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing?
Hey, Lauren, can you tell him that you really like Yankee stuff in the extra large shirt? Thank you.
Yeah, I've absolutely encountered people who were very smothering in that sort of way. It's too much. You need to calm the hell down. Calm the hell down. And then
it's just weird that he's like so logical and you can understand why he's doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he is.
So if I buy her more food, she'll be even happier.
Yeah.
And then also, hey, just a tip. Don't buy things for people instead of listening to them. You know, Brainy gets a pass because he's a stupid, brilliant idiot. And he's part computer. So logically speaking, this makes sense to him. But as a real human being, don't do that crap. I had someone who used to avoid dealing with things emotionally or actually being like a compassionate person and would just like buy things instead. So an apology would just be like him buying something for me instead of actually saying I'm sorry and admitting he did something wrong.
I have a friend who luckily doesn't listen to this show that's going through that with a marriage, that his wife complains about that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That it's not about the material things. So stop buying me stuff. Listen to what I say and change. Not, I feel sorry, I'm going to buy you an Apple Watch or a new pair of sunglasses that I've wanted. Yeah. So I've actually seen this in real life, that people think that the buying stuff is the way to fix things. This will make you feel good, right?
Ugh. So, in a positive, like great random little, coincidental situation, my boyfriend just texted me and sent me a screen.
Bought you waffles?
Oh God, I fucking wish. No, no, he sent me a picture of his like screen in his car. He's driving home from work right now. Uh-huh. And he was just like, hey, I'm listening to your show from last week. And it was last week's episode of Supergirl. He doesn't even watch Supergirl.
Yeah.
He's just supportive and nice.
Have him rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, right? I should. I think he may have already subscribed. He's just supportive like that. That's what a nice person does. He doesn't buy me things instead
like
of
waffles.
He doesn't buy me waffles. He just listens to my show.
Next week, he's going to listen about waffles, and then you'll have waffles.
Ooh, then I'll come home to waffles. Yes.
Dude, we could use this as a plant from now on. Whatever you want next week, we just have to remember to say it the week before so yes. He's listening.
Well, he doesn't listen every week, but...
Well, he needs to get on that tip if we're going to make this work.
He at least needs to listen when this episode comes out so that can work in my favor. All right. So anyway... ooh, blueberry pancakes sound good too, though.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why would you give it so specific?
So specific to blueberries, yeah.
Like right off the bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so on the other spectrum of Brainy's craziness and trying to figure out just how to act with each other, we've got Alex and Kelly. And it's, I mean, does it feel nice to you to finally have Alex in a place where she can work through her own relationship, like panic in an episode?
That she didn't run for a bottle or do something random like we've seen in movies.
Yes. And it's not an arc. It was a, I panicked a little bit because I really like you and I'm worried that, you know, maybe I'm falling for you too fast. I don't know you that well. And then she has confidence in herself and her ability to detect which one is her real girlfriend and goes, okay, wow. Yeah, I know you. I may not know every fact about your life, but I don't need to right now. I know you as a person. I know how you are. I know the nuances of how you react to things, how you speak. I know how you would touch my hand. God, it's nice.
Yeah.
Can I get a hell yeah for character growth?
Yay. Oh, I mean, hell yeah.
I was really, like, no, come on, don't turn this into a whole thing. But we did it. We got through it in one episode and they're solid. They're good to go. Kelly gave her a cute little EpiPen and list of her allergies so that she doesn't freak out again and be like, I'm going to murder you on accident.
I mean, that's what you need to know in a relationship.
Yeah.
That would suck. You have a peanut allergy or something like that. I'm like, I just killed her.
Yeah. If it's like a deadly allergy, you absolutely need to let your partner know about that.
Yeah.
If any of you listening have a serious allergy and you start dating someone and you don't tell them, what if they cook for you?
Yeah. Or don't even know. Like cross contamination of a food or something.
They ate some peanuts and then they stuck their finger in your mouth.
What?
I don't know how often you're going to come across that, but you never know. Whatever.
It's a weird $500 spend on an EpiPen for I fingered her mouth.
All right. Let's move on to a different sibling now. We've got this whole story happening that we got a glimpse of last season with Jean's brother. And when we got introduced to Jean's brother, he was... I feel like there was something to do with the monitor in that situation when he got introduced. Was there? Was he like talking to the monitor or something like that?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It's so, you know, so, 6-7 months ago. We don't remember yesterday.
Yeah, it's true. I barely remember last night. That's not true. I played Borderlands 3 all night. Anyway, so Jean's brother and this whole thing seems like it's going to be heavily tied into the Crisis crossover and that huge event. So I have no idea what part that's going to play. I don't even know what's happening now, but not in a bad way.
It's weird because the Crisis event is playing a bigger role on Arrow and Flash.
Is it?
Yes.
I haven't watched the first couple episodes of each of those yet.
Yeah.
So.
Arrow's first was this week and Flash got it in the second week, but they definitely talk about the Crisis.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, if you guys are not listening or watching all the shows, it's not something you would miss out on. It's more like how comic books are written. And it's just like, go to Flash 123 and see, you know, what's going on in his world. And then he's just dealing with a small piece of whatever's going to happen in Crisis.
Everyone's dealing with their own piece of it in their own, like,
yeah, bubble. I don't think it'll affect the overall story.
Cool. Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to be watching, especially Arrow since it's the last season, you know, got to keep up with it. But yeah, I mean, we've got this whole situation with John, and he doesn't even know at the beginning of this that he had a brother. We find out this week that he's got all of these pieces of his memory missing. Things are broken and removed. And I, you know, they brought up his dad and since he took in some of his dad's memories and stuff, maybe that messed with his own. But then he comes to the conclusion that his mind was wiped in certain areas. And I have to wonder, was it his dad or, you know, his dad did a lot of things under the guise of it being, you know, Not really under the guise, but saying or believing that it was for, like, his own good yeah. or whatever. You know, he was that kind of dad through most of their relationship, where he's like, well, this is how things are done. This is
the best
for
you.
Yeah, this is the Martian way, blah, blah, blah. But the Martian way states that you should not ever wipe someone's mind. So what the heck? The greatest sin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to play out.
It's so weird because this is the one storyline that I feel is like disconnected from everything else.
And yet it's the one that's going to lead into the crossover.
Yeah. And I just feel weird about it, you know, because, again, I do believe that it will help lead to the crossover in general, but it's not part of what everybody else is doing.
And I have to wonder if it will become a bigger part of what everyone else is doing.
Like he'll remember something, portion. You know, something will come back when they fix the mind or.
Yeah. Because what's interesting is that we've got this underlying technology story, and technology is really the villain here this season, right?
Yeah.
But so far, the only villain that we have seen outside of John's brother has been someone that John's brother brought back from the Phantom Zone mm-hmm. and set loose on John. So, I mean, really, that's our only dose of, like, action and villains, because anything to do with technology is really, like, I don't know, like white collar subterfuge.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know how this is going to play out with Malefic. Yeah, whatever.
Maleficent.
But I'm curious at the very least. I'm interested to see where this path takes John and what happens. And I'm just glad to see Martian Manhunter back in the action aspect of it, instead of like, I am a peaceful man.
Yes, he's not Kang from Kung Fu anymore.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a quick break and then we will get back with our final thoughts.
General Zod, for the crimes of murder and high treason, the council has sentenced.
Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we're asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. We have a personal goal set for ourselves. We need to hit 100 subscribers before the end of the year. So help us keep the lights on. It just sounds so morbid, but help us out. Go on over to patreon.com/rainmandigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details. It's all there.
Yeah. Keep the lights on because it's dark in here.
The Rain Man Show.
Slow motion, please. Let's see. What is she actually doing with that chalk there?
What chalk?
Mr. Kelly, we are examining this important video footage.
But why chalk? First off, you can tell how old Tony is. Because they haven't used chalk even when I was in school.
Oh, fuck.
This is why the education system is messed up. We are no longer using chalk.
And also, in your world, it hasn't moved on since fucking Leave It to Be.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
Okay, so final thoughts. How do you feel this week?
It's I'm at that weird. I wish I had a more better idea, I guess, of where we were going. I don't know why I expect it so soon. I think this is where I go through all summer watching like Netflix shows where they're like 10 episodes, 12 episodes, The Boys, 10 episodes, you know, and so they move a lot faster in getting everything set up. And I think this is where I struggle with the longer seasons that the networks are still kind of like a slave to. And, you know, I realize that we're only two episodes into, you know, that's like less than 5% or whatever the actual calculation is of the season. And I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, because I like to speculate. I want to know what's going on and I want to be there.
Yeah, you do.
And that's what makes it exciting for me with the shows. And I think that's what I struggle with. There's nothing, again, wrong with acting, writing, you know, the whatever action scenes or lack thereof that we've gotten so far. I just don't know where we're going yet.
Yeah.
You know, and it bugs me personally. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the show, but it bugs me personally.
You know what's funny, too, is I think Supergirl is the only show that we really have that with. At the beginning of each season, too.
Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's the beginning of every single Supergirl season.
It's so slow.
Cool, I can see where this is going, but what's going on with this? Are we just ignoring like the setup, the cliffhanger from last season? What is happening? Last season, we had to wait so long.
Yeah. What's going on with the Children of Liberty? What's going on with this?
Where did he go? Where's
Red Daughter?
Where the hell's Red Daughter?
What's this? What's this?
Can we check in with Russia, please?
Yeah.
Kaznia?
What are we doing? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And you're right. It is. I guess it would be the beginning of the last, what, two or three seasons that we've been like this. It's just like, I just don't know. And I think that's what bugs me.
Yeah.
With the shows is like, I want to be informed.
I get that. I totally get that. I feel the same way because So right before this show, we recorded the second episode of Batwoman, which we also host. So if you watch Supergirl, you should probably also watch Batwoman and then probably listen to our shows. Thanks. But we recorded Batwoman and I was praising the fact that we have questions that feel like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen next, instead of like, wait a second. Why aren't we hearing anything about this?
Yeah.
And I feel like Supergirl is the one show that we have that problem with at the beginning of the season. Every time the big bad is never like right there in front of you. We always build up to it, which is fine. But I want to know a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like we're forgetting about it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Supergirl picks up and hopefully this season will be a little more. How do I say? I guess like more of a direct line to what we know the end game is.
A little less.
Bobbing and weaving through political stuff.
Yeah, a little less preachy here and there. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have as much of a problem with the political preachiness as you and Nicole did last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially with like a super character, there's a story to be told there and a stance to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was bold of the show to take a stance at all. You know, they
didn't do the Arrow gun episode.
Exactly. They didn't go, well, we found middle ground. Okay, what was the answer? Who knows? Anyway, next episode.
The worst episode of Arrow ever.
The worst. God.
Because you don't call it the gun of the Spectre.
The Spectre of the Gun.
Spectre of the Gun or whatever the fuck it was called. And then don't make a decision on gun control.
And you want to know what's funny, too, is that episode is so notoriously bad, especially amongst our opinions here at Rain Man Digital. That's like the one episode that I remember the name of for Arrow.
A 100.
For all of their episodes.
Yeah, for the wrong reasons.
Spectre of the Gun. And I mean, there was also like another wrong reason there for me, too, because Spectre.
Don't use a name. That's beside the point.
Guys, I'm finally getting Spectre in Crisis.
Yeah, so. You'll be disappointed. It was 2.5 minutes.
Oh, shut up. Don't even say that. I don't know if I'm impressed with the casting. Okay, back to Supergirl. But yeah, I mean, I hope that this show kind of hones in on the target a little bit more and doesn't bob and weave through a bunch of different storylines. Because last season, there was so much happening. And so far, at least with this episode, I feel like we tackled all of the little things that are happening, but they worked together. The characters are connected by, I'd say, three major like plot points. We've mm-hmm. got the Lena situation. Lena is connected to Andrea Rojas and then also has Eve in the mix. Andrea Rojas took over Catco, which is where Kara and Nia work and James used to. And that's a whole thing which introduced to us our weird, sketchy, maybe possibly a very good guy reporter man from Britain. And then beyond that, you know, Kara and Nia have their like superhero lives, which is what ties into John and his whole thing, because honestly the DEO's just it seems like they're not doing anything except for looking into John's brother.
Yeah,
because those are that is where the threats are coming from for National City is that particular Martian bringing people in from the Phantom Zone and stuff like that. So as long as we keep it to that, we've got, you know, Andrea Rojas is kind of the villain of the work-life storyline. Lena has that whole thing with Eve and Hope and Leviathan possibly looming in the background going on over there. And that looks like that's going to be the major overarching story and villainous plot sort of thingy situation of the whole season. And then we've got the Jean situation, which seems like that's going to be our first half of the season major stuff leading us into the crossover where things will get radically turned on their heads and who knows how the season's going to end up. So if we can keep it to that, I'm okay. I don't need, oh, by the way, we've got another group that's rising up over here. Let's go follow them for three episodes.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Overall, what's your rating for this episode?
I'd 75.
Yeah, I think that's solid. I will stick with you at 75.
It's always funny when you think about it, because like last week when I'm giving ratings, I was like, that's really not that bad. It's like 3 out of 4 stars.
Yeah.
It just all matters how you put it in, I guess, the rating system. But yeah, there's stuff I like, stuff I don't like. And I've seen worse. I've seen better.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, really, everyone in Supergirl does knock it out of the park with acting.
Yeah. It's definitely not based on acting, you know, directing, cinematography, any of that stuff. It's
right now, it's just the overall story. It's not even like the lines written or how they got to that conclusion. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're sticking at a 75 for both of us. And that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Supergirl edition. You can catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Check out our social media. It's all DC on RMD, except Facebook, who sucks. And it's still DC on CW there. Also, please, please give us some support on Batwoman. If you're interested in checking out the show but haven't watched it yet, still, you know, maybe come listen. Try it out. We'll catch you next time.
Mother of God! Would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.